With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And if you've already subscribed to the Fro Wrestling Podcast on YouTube, make sure that you enable notifications. That way you know every time we put up a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. I want to get right going tonight. I have a lot of things to cover. Not all the time in the world to get them covered. So, here's the thing. First off, thank you everybody who casted their vote in the greatest female wrestler of all time tournament. Those votes are being tabulated now. We will get the next round up and running for you soon. That you guys are just amazing. Great job. And I got to throw out our normal plugs. Got to do it, guys. These people help me out. Wrestler Unstoppable. If you are sick and tired of paying $60 to $100 every year for the latest, greatest wrestling video game, stop doing it. If you use Facebook, go to Wrestler Unstoppable. Totally free, fully customizable. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even create your own corporation. All included for free at Wrestler Unstoppable. And if you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, the Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. We could use all your support trying to grow the podcast and get the message out there that we cover all the latest news and rumors in the world of professional wrestling all right here on the Fro Wrestling Podcast. No need to tune in anywhere else. We got you right here. If you want to help us with that message and on our mission to reaching even more and more people, go to patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast today and become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family. This month, for the month of November, if you are a $25 contributor for the month, you will host a episode of our Going Live episode on a Saturday night. We will get in touch, we'll go over the details of the show, and get you to host live with me on a Going Live episode. And if you are a $10 a month subscriber, absolutely go on there, go in, put in your $10 subscription, and then those names are put into a drawing to see who will be able to also host another episode with me of Going Live on one of our Saturday episodes. So check that out if you have not before. And if you have never been to the homepage of the Fro Wrestling Podcast, do that every week. The Fro Wrestling homepage is where you can find all the topics we're going to discuss every episode, see what it is that we're going to talk about, and then when you come up with your own questions, your own comments, things you think we need to add or take away or whatever, you can give us your questions and comments and current concerns through the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. It is a talk-to-text service. So you call, you talk, it texts it to me, and I can get your questions, comments, and concerns up on the board right away so that your thoughts can become a huge focal part of our show. We like to make sure our audience is always the biggest part of our show. And by the way, if I didn't mention the web link before, the homepage of the Fro Wrestling Podcast is www.frowrestling.com. Lots and lots of things to talk about. I know it's been a couple days since we put up an episode, and so much has changed in a few days. And we're going to start with the one that, in my opinion, is the most important topic of discussion this entire week, and that is Alpha versus Omega. Chris Jericho showing up on New Japan Pro Wrestling's show and issuing a challenge to Kenny Omega for Wrestle Kingdom 12 for the IWGP United States Championship. He called himself the Alpha so that we can get that whole play on words thing, Alpha versus Omega. I love it. I think it's a fantastic match. And the beautiful thing about New Japan Pro Wrestling in this environment is that New Japan does something that WWE never seems to do, and that is they allow their talents to develop a storyline. They allow their talents to really be a part of the show. They allow their talents to not just get out there for 5 minutes, wrap it up, and leave. They let them give them 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. I expect that the Omega versus Chris Jericho match may be a 45-minute match, maybe even an hour, because the two of them could put on a clinic. And, you know, some of the conversations this week, people don't understand how this deal came to fruition. So here's the thing. Chris Jericho only signs these limited date contracts with WWE. He almost comes and goes as he pleases. But Chris Jericho, for those of you who have been listening to the podcast or who seek out interesting information on various other media outlets, have found out that Chris Jericho is booking this wonderful cruise experience next summer, where you're going to be able to go see great rock bands and see professional wrestling while on a cruise. And it's a very innovative and unique idea. So here's the thing about that cruise and why this ties into Alpha versus Omega. The situation is this. Chris Jericho is organizing this cruise completely at his own expense. He's the one who's the driving force behind it. He's trying to see how this goes. And to be honest with you, if it goes over very well, and for those who haven't checked into it yet, I'll give you the deal. If you are one of those people who wants to save a few dollars, you can go on the cruise for $750, all expense paid. That doesn't count airfare to get to whatever port you're leaving from, but the point is that $750, go see the wrestling shows, go see the rock performances. And so Jericho had this great idea. He approaches WWE and says, listen, I'm organizing this thing, and I think you guys would benefit from the exposure of your NXT students, your NXT talents. He wants to book the NXT brand to be represented on his cruise. WWE kind of gives him the runaround. Gives him a hard time about not being interested in it. It's too much logistically and everything else. Jericho has already put enough emphasis into this that that's not going to deter him from having this cruise. So what does he do? He does the next best thing. He contacts Ring of Honor. And so now you're going to have a Sea of Honor tournament on the cruise. Ring of Honor will be bringing their talents. As soon as you found out, because a lot of people, I know you guys are a fantastic audience. You're very attuned to the wrestling world. I'm sure everybody has been talking for days about this. You know, as soon as you hear that Ring of Honor and the Young Bucks and people of that nature are going to be at Chris Jericho's cruise, you should have had an idea that the whole back and forth banter between Jericho and Omega that's been going on for 2 weeks now might play into it somehow. So the immediate theory was Omega versus Jericho on the cruise. But that's not the case. Jericho now has frustration, has a little bit of heat with WWE. Apparently, he didn't even tell them. This is literally a one-off deal. He contacted Ghetto, who is the booker, the creative mind for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He met with individuals in their New York office for New Japan Pro Wrestling, hammering out the details of the contract, and this is a one-off appearance. Which the problem with that is ahead of time you look at that and you say, well, obviously Jericho can't win that match and become IWGP United States Champion if he's only wrestling once. However, I actually beg to differ. I think just because he negotiates for one show, if they put the title on him and he fosters some trust. Remember, Ring of Honor didn't sign their own world champion, Cody Rhodes, to an exclusive contract until several months after he won the Ring of Honor Championship. Very similar situation could happen here, where Chris Jericho could win the IWGP United States Championship and then sign a limited date contract leading up to a rematch at their next major show in the United States, which will be the return to Long Beach. March 25th, 2018, New Japan Pro Wrestling announced Strong Style Evolved, their next show in the United States, in this desire to have a global expansion of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, those things being said, I think that it's interesting how this match came to be. I think it's WWE missed out on an opportunity, could have had great exposure for the NXT brand, and instead, the result of WWE's ignorance is that New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to have what is probably going to be one of the most talked about angles all year long, because Chris Jericho has not been in New Japan Pro Wrestling in over 20 years. Chris Jericho was there as a cruiserweight. He was a tag team partner with Ghetto at one point, held the Junior Tag Team Championship, competed in the Super J Cup, and things of that nature. Jericho has an extensive history in New Japan, and it's almost like a spiritual journey of him going back to New Japan now that he's in the, you know, I don't want to say the twilight of his career, but clearly not in his prime anymore, and he's still going to go back and participate with a company that has been so good to him in the past. So it's very interesting to me to see how all this transpired in such a short period of time, and I can't even begin to tell you, I already knew that I wanted to watch Wrestle Kingdom. For those who don't know, Wrestle Kingdom is, you know, people understand that it is the equivalent of WrestleMania to New Japan Pro Wrestling, but what you may not understand is, when you go watch a WrestleMania show, yes, they book tons of matches, it's like a 4, 5, 6 hour show depending on the year, and you get some great matches, but the reality is, there's always a match that gets cut short, there's always some match that's pushed down to the undercard, like Neville and Austin Aries earlier this year, and then they don't get their paychecks. There's always something like that going on, because WWE can't seem to figure out what the heck they're doing. New Japan Pro Wrestling is not like that. All of their matches will get the opportunity to run as long as necessary. Everybody will get a chance to showcase their talent. Everybody will get a chance to have a 5-star, 6-star quality match. Because that's what New Japan does. They showcase their talent. Their fans don't care how long the shows go. They'll stay from the opening bell to the closing bell. So WWE may not realize this, but this is a huge injection of life into the arm of New Japan Pro Wrestling, a company that is looking to become the number one competitor to World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, I think that may be biting off a little more than they should be, as far as New Japan's concerned, but why not? Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, all these other promotions have tried to be a legitimate contender or opponent of WWE, and let's face it, despite the fact that if you look at it, TNA Impact Wrestling's history, they've had a very great run of some phenomenal matches, especially in the X Division, and matches with people like Kurt Angle taking on Samoa Joe and things of that nature, they also, in recent years, have not done a lot of anything that mattered. You know, and I'm not knocking Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor puts on some of the best wrestling in the world, but not on the level of what New Japan Pro Wrestling does. So you've got people now, you know, reality fighting is a huge market. UFC, Bellator, mixed martial arts in general. Boxing is making a return to prominence. It has an uptick. So people like reality. So when you watch a product like New Japan Pro Wrestling and it looks so authentic, it looks stiffer, it looks more real, that may be appealing to the American audience more so than the overly choreographed World Wrestling Entertainment. It's just an observation I have and something WWE better be ready for. Update of a story that happened. Okay, so this past weekend was Bound for Glory for Impact Wrestling. The conversation was about what they were going to do about referees. All four of the company's referees walked out and requested and were granted their releases ahead of Bound for Glory. So it turns out that the reason that this all went down was because the referees were, you know, their contracts were coming due and they were offered significantly less money than they had previously been paid. It's like a slap in the face. And when you see the Hebners, Earl Hebner and Brian Hebner walking out and wanting their releases, everybody else isn't far behind. They're all going to follow. Impact Wrestling, I know they're trying to cut costs here, but you can't cut costs at the expense of the quality of your product. And that is what exactly what has been happening. Yes, they have John Morrison or Johnny Impact or whatever you want to call him right now. Yes, bringing him in is a great injection of life. Alberto Val Patron being back on TV is a great thing. Eli Drake, I actually am a firm believer in. I think he's a fantastic wrestler. Bobby Lashley, Eddie Edwards, people of that nature. But just because you have a handful of superstars at the top of the card does not mean you can neglect the critical role that the referees play, announcers play, and subordinate characters who are the ones who put over your megastars to make them look unstoppable. And I feel like in these all these cost-cutting measures by Impact Wrestling, I feel like that's exactly what they're doing. They're cutting so many costs that they're actually harming the product. By the way, if I didn't mention it earlier, if you are listening right now and you want to get in on the conversation, if you use the Spreaker application, go to Spreaker.com or download the app on Android or iPhone, you can go directly into there and there's a chat function where you could put your comments into the screen and they will pop up in front of me immediately. So I encourage anybody who has questions, comments, concerns, anything they want to address, feel free to do that. I always welcome any input from the audience that I could possibly get. There is an update on Emma's release. Apparently, the failed Emelina character, the one that was like running for about 17 weeks, it seemed like, leading up to her big debut on Raw, Emelina, this, you know, bikini model, sultry character, she comes out and it didn't work out. She just went back to being Emma. What a waste of production value and money. So for the better part of the last 10 months, she's been just Emma. Not that Emma's a bad wrestler. She's a fantastic wrestler. But from what we understand now, Emma was a handful behind the scenes. Everything that creative brought to her, she like crapped on. Didn't want to do it. Didn't enjoy the storyline. Didn't like the storylines. Kept rejecting things and became difficult to work with in the back. Well, what do you expect is going to happen? You are... Look... All right, I don't care what endeavor of business you participate in. If you're thinking that you're going to tell the bosses or your superiors or the people who create your position what you're going to do, you're not going to be employed long. Hopefully, Emma learns something from this experience and can go on to have a great career elsewhere and potentially at some point back in WWE. But her attitude apparently is the biggest factor, and that's a problem. Because that's the kind of thing that can get you blackballed from other locker rooms. Very bad situation for Emma, if you ask me. Especially if she wants to continue in the wrestling business. Major changes to Bound for Glory. I hope everybody figured that out, but heading into the show. And as I said, I haven't been able to put an episode up for you guys since last Saturday. So Bound for Glory has already happened. But I do still want to address that. I don't know if anybody noticed, but Taya Valkyrie and Rosemary were supposed to have a First Blood match. It did not take place. Taya Valkyrie is having issues with immigration. You know, she's married to John Morrison, but it takes a little while for the paperwork to be processed for her to be able to stay in the country. And that was not completed. So there's no heat on her for that. But it definitely made them make some alterations to the plan. In addition, with Taryn Terrell being released from the company, she was dropped from the women's championship match. The Fatal 4-Way became a triple threat where Gail Kim ended up winning the Knockouts title in her last match. She came out this week on Impact Wrestling and is going to relinquish that championship for those who haven't seen it yet. Great way for her to end her career. It's a beautiful thing. But... The when you have a company that's trying to build an audience, you can't advertise matches and not deliver on them. You just can't. These visa issues that Taya Valkyrie is experiencing, that should have been resolved months ago. Absolutely should have been resolved months ago, and it's pathetic that it wasn't. It only makes your product look weak. The situation with Taryn Terrell, you know, you have a contract with somebody. She asked for her release. You know what you do? Get us through Bound for Glory, and then you can be released. I can't believe these companies, especially Impact Wrestling right now, anyone who asks to leave, they just let them go. Anybody. They had another release this week. Bram, who I've always thought had a great look for the wrestling business, Bram was released this week after he requested his release. You don't have to let these people go. They're under contract. Just like Vince McMahon is screwing with Neville by not letting Neville return to the ring for another company and not granting him his release, Impact Wrestling could do the same thing. Oh, well, yeah, then you're paying their downside guarantee. I get it. But right now what you've done is you've made it look like any wrestler that comes through your promotion that doesn't like what you give them to do, whatever storyline that is, can just walk out and it's just fine. And that is no business model for the wrestling industry. That is a scary proposition for people when you let the inmates run the asylum. And that's just not okay. And yes, I use that phrasing for a reason. So for those who understand the implied conversation there, thank you for not crucifying me for saying that. But, you know, it is what it is. Going to move on because I'm actually thrilled about something that I find very fascinating. The first challenger for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship since Billy Corgan purchased the company has been announced. So, Tim Storm, who is, I think he's in his 50s, is the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and he is going to be defending the championship on November 18th against Nick Aldis, all formerly known as Magnus in Impact Wrestling. I actually think this is Billy Corgan's way of transitioning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship to Magnus because he is younger, significantly, and more marketable and would be a great person to build his new NWA vision around. I'm seeing I've got a message up here on the board. TNA Impact is just beyond a mess lately. Absolutely, that's my buddy John in Hatfield. John, you hit the nail on the head, man. Impact Wrestling is a thoroughly screwed up product right now. Like, they really don't understand. Now, I do love, for those who watch Bound for Glory, I love that Jimmy Jacobs is there now. I think he's going to add a lot of creative element to what they do, and I think that could only be a good thing. But, you know, you bring him in and you lose all your referees. Kind of blows my mind how these things happen. Cody Rhodes announces his opponent for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Cody will be bringing the Ring of Honor Championship with him to New Japan Pro Wrestling. He will be defending the Ring of Honor title against Kota Ibushi, which if you've never, these two, they really, and I hate to say it because, you know, you got on the same card, you're going to see Alpha versus Omega, Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. You're going to see the long-awaited World Championship match. I predict, here comes my prediction already, it's only November 8th. Barring injury between now and then, Tetsuya Naito is going to dethrone Kazuchika Okada for that IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. That's my prediction, but that's the main.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Event. You've got the Omega, Alpha Omega. You've got the Okada and Naito. Now you've got Kota Ibushi taking on Cody. You have a tag team championship match always takes place on a card. You've got a fatal four-way for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, da-da-da-da-da-da. You see what I'm saying? Just great matches top to bottom. The show is going to be lights out. It's going to be amazing. So you'll have to find a way to see those matches. They are going to be something very special. What is not special is WWE's constant flopping of intellectual ideas. Let's run down some history for you. WWE has done some innovative stuff since Vince McMahon took over the company from his father. He took a syndicated show. He took his company national. Launched the first, not the first pay-per-view. Starrcade 83 was the first, like, mega show. But the WrestleMania was the first closed-circuit television crazy pay-per-view kind of show. So they do that. And they've done other things, Saturday Night Main Event and going, you know, doing Monday Night Raw and things of that nature. So they've done a lot of great things, but they've also done a lot of really ridiculous, moronic, stupid, and unsuccessful things. One of those was the XFL, the football league that should never have been. One of those was the WBF, the World Bodybuilding Federation, which again should never have happened. And one of the things that I consider to be a complete flop is Tough Enough. Now, don't get me wrong. I actually enjoyed every season of Tough Enough that I ever saw, and I watched them all. They were great. That's not the issue. The issue is that nobody who wins a Tough Enough contract, with the exception of one person, nobody else ever amounts to anything in the world of professional wrestling and has no staying power. So you understand that one exception is John Morrison, who had a relatively extensive career in WWE before he left. So he's the one guy who made it. But every person other than him has not made it. Whether you go back to Jackie Gaeta, who left the industry relatively early. Linda Miles left the industry very early. You had Daniel Pewter left the industry very early. I guess he does spot shows now, but I'm talking about of anything of importance. Yes, somebody just put up a comment for me that Matt Morgan was a tough enough competitor. He was, but never did a darn thing for WWE, and he had to leave, get a developmental deal, and eventually become a wrestler. But they actually contributed something. By the way, congratulations to him. He won his political office down in Florida, so it's awesome to hear. But the reason I bring up all this tough enough stuff is the most recent rendition of the show. Oh, by the way, don't forget Andy Levine, who, or whatever his name is, the guy, Andy Levin, who got hit with a wellness policy violation as soon as he won the show. I just got a comment from my buddy John. He's reminded me that Melina was on Tough Enough, too. But keep in mind, though, she didn't win the show. It's like winning the show is like the kiss of death. You know, we had the most recent incarnation, the one that had the three panel judges and all that kind of stuff. They had two winners, a male and a female. And I can't even remember the girl's name at this point because she was so irrelevant. But it's like the fans just liked her look or whatever, so they kept voting her through, and she ended up winning, and she was nothing. Now she's pregnant, and she's not even a WWE contracted talent anymore. This week, Josh Brettle, who won Tough Enough, the male version, he was the guy who would, you know, grunt like a Yeti and all that kind of stuff. Apparently, last year in training, he got injured. He got himself a concussion, and it was a pretty bad one. He has not been training at the Performance Center. He hasn't been even working out. He's got so much issues from this post-concussion syndrome, so he is no longer with the WWE. They released him, and, you know, unlike a lot of the WWE talents that get released, you know, there's always some factor, attitude, or something of that nature. This wasn't the case. This kid actually really wanted this, and he's dealing with some pretty serious side effects. It's really a shame that Josh Brettle is in that way, because I thought he had the look. He had a great look to him. He looked like he was going to be a solid performer, and it's really a shame that we never got the opportunity to see that on the main roster or even in NXT. I would have been fine seeing either one, really. There's some theoretical booking going on right now, and I think that it's confusing to me after seeing what happened on both SmackDown and on Raw this week. So the New Day come out, and they cost the Shield the tag team championship. So now Sheamus and Cesaro will be the ones facing the Usos at the Survivor Series. I actually like that match better. I think that if you would have booked the Shield against the Usos and had the Usos even look remotely like a competitive team, then it's kind of an insult to the Shield. So I didn't really want to see that match to begin with. Sheamus and Cesaro, much similar level to the Usos. I'm going to enjoy watching that match significantly more. My concern is what they're doing with the New Day. So you've been seeing on SmackDown this week, there's all this build up with this whole Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing. We have more news about them coming up in a few minutes. But it looks like from the way they were booking SmackDown that they may be working towards a match with the New Day versus Zayn and Owens, especially with Zayn and Owens not being on Team SmackDown. However, the theory is now is that the reason the New Day showed up on Monday Night Raw to cost the Shield the tag team titles is to build towards a six-man tag team match, all three members of the New Day taking on all three members of the Shield, including the returning Roman Reigns. I am very much in favor of that match. I feel like people think or have the impression that if Roman Reigns walks into a WWE arena, he's automatically going to get the marquee spot, the best match on the card, and that stigma has to go away. It really does, because it's not helping get the fans to help get him over to constantly shove him down your throat and put him in the marquee match all the time. Every once in a while, he needs to take a step back. Now, I actually think the New Day versus the Shield is a significantly better matchup than versus the Miztourage and all that nonsense that was supposed to happen at TLC to begin with. The New Day, I believe, are more believable. Now, still not believable that they're going to beat Roman Reigns and the Shield. I actually think you could book him in a 3-on-1 handicap match with Roman Reigns, and you'd still expect him to find a way to win because they're cramming him down our throat so much. But at least the way they're doing this will make the match fun, and I hope we get some great competition out of it because it's something I think we need. I'm going to cover just a couple things that I saw this week between Raw and SmackDown that I really got to point out. First off, what a fantastic moment seeing the Bruiserweight versus the Cruiserweight. Pete Dunne making his debut on 205 Live roster on Monday Night Raw, challenging Enzo. I wish it was a title match. Could he unify those two belts and gotten rid of one or the other? Because he can't. Having lots of championships is fine with me if you're actually going to showcase them, but we haven't seen that UK belt defended on WWE programming in like 6 months. So how important is it? But it was great to see Pete Dunne in the ring. He's a great wrestler. I know it's because they're in the UK, but there were some interesting comments that came out from the promoter of ICW, who was saying that, you know, the UK talent may be gone. They may be headed to the US and become a permanent fixture of the 205 Live brand, which I actually don't have a problem with if it's going to help build that brand. That brand needs all the help it can get. My understanding is, in short order, they're going to be adding Rockstar Spud. That's almost a done deal. He has visa issues as well. They need to wrap up. But once that happens, he'll be a part of the Cruiserweight division. So that'll be interesting to see how they integrate him. So just a lot going on there. So it's great to see Pete Dunne. In addition, I'll get to the big stuff a little bit later. But, you know, the NXT is also about to have a star debut on 205 Live, and that's Hideo Itami. It's now also being said it's a done deal for him to be pulled up to the main roster as well. Again, another solid performer for the 205 Live brand. And here's what I'm hoping people are paying attention to. 205 Live is becoming stacked with what in the last 3 or 4 years has been some of the greatest talent in the independent scene in the world. So when you're watching 205 Live or watching how many people aren't staying in the arenas to watch 205 Live, the reason that people are running away is not because 205 Live isn't talented. It's not because the people on the show aren't engaging or don't have great character development or anything of that nature. It's because WWE is too stubborn to give them enough time to really tell a story. You're talking about high-flying cruiserweights. They need some time to make these matches meaningful, and they're not getting it. Hopefully, some of these additions between the UK division and Hideo Itami and anybody else that they choose to bring up to the main roster, hopefully they can help generate some buzz and excitement for the brand in general. And I hope it helps expand their horizons just a little bit. Impact Wrestling. I can't believe I'm even going to read this to you guys. So Impact Wrestling apparently has been paying actors from an acting agency because they can't sell tickets in their Canadian house shows and TV tapings. That is pathetic. When you have a formula that's working, why do you go ahead and break it? I understand Anthem is based in Canada and all that kind of stuff, but when you're using the Impact Zone at Universal Studios and you're putting a fresh set of people in there every 2 hours or so, and you're putting together great quality production value, it's almost like the WCW mentality when they went to doing WCW Saturday Night in the exact same sound studios. It helps. Because your fan base, the people in the crowd, look more legitimate. This nonsense of, you talk about cost cutting. You just lost 4 referees and about 15 talents in the last few months over money. And now you're going to pay fans to come to your show, or you're going to pay talent, actors and actresses to come to your shows? That's pathetic. Get your head out of your tail, Impact Wrestling. Austin Aries in the news this week, claiming that at no point in time did he ask for his WWE release. He didn't push the issue. He didn't ask for it. WWE gave it to him anyways. It's fascinating that when you think about it, because he's been talking about how much money he makes on the independent scene, but it sounds like he didn't want to leave. He just wanted to be treated fairly. He wanted his match included on the WrestleMania DVD. He wanted to be paid for the amount of effort he was putting in. And those things were apparently non-negotiables. And it led to him being considered to be difficult to work with. I have a tough time with that. You know, you got these bigger-than-life characters on television. You're supposed to be so tough. But when they actually are tough, you let them go. Because they've got make a lot of good points. Let's face it, Austin Aries is one of the best talents in the world. Neville, some of the best talent in the world. And neither of them, guarantee you, neither of them are getting paid on the level that they should be. Absolutely ridiculous. John Cena. Last week we reported the poster was released. John Cena standing between Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal with his referee shirt on. And Vince McMahon has changed his mind. It's not going to happen. For two reasons. One, there is a new WWE champion crowned in the United Kingdom. First time the title's ever changed hands overseas on SmackDown Live. Jinder Mahal losing the world championship, the WWE championship, to AJ Styles. AJ is now on his second reign as champion. Apparently, the decision was made last week by Vince McMahon himself to transition the title to AJ Styles. It was not, contrary to some of the internet reporting, is not because of a failed wellness policy violation by Jinder Mahal. That is nonsense. It's not for behavioral concerns or anything of that nature. It is purely Vince's decision that AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar is a more marquee and marketable main event level match. Because of that, John Cena is no longer needed to be a special referee for Mahal and Brock Lesnar, which, by the way, I was actually looking forward to the match. I don't know why, but I really was looking forward to the match. Instead, John Cena will be the fifth member of Team SmackDown. I find interesting, since the last time we saw him, he was representing Raw, going against Roman Reigns. Now, suddenly, he's back to SmackDown. This free agent thing sounds great, except it makes no sense. If he can do that, why would any wrestler in WWE ever sign an exclusive contract again? They could just bounce around to any TV show they want. The booking of this whole angle makes not one remote bit of sense. It seems very, very convoluted and stupid. I just wish they would figure out how to book shows. I'm seeing here, I got another comment. The Miz was a contestant on Tough Enough. He and Morrison, only two people that made it from big from Tough Enough. I agree. The Mike Mizinian, who eventually became The Miz, was a Tough Enough contestant. Obviously a huge success in WWE. Not a winner. That's the really tough part is having a winner. But and if I remember right, I believe that The Miz was on the same season as Daniel Pewter, the season that Daniel Pewter ended up winning. It's interesting to me that Pewter wins the thing and can't get any traction, yet The Miz has done what he's done. And he's gone through it, because it's been well documented that The Miz was very much treated like an outsider in the locker room for a good period of time. But to his credit, he stuck with it. He really wanted this to be his profession, and he was not going to give up just because people were busting his stones in the back. So, you know, congratulations to The Miz. Now he's on pace to be potentially the most days combined reigns as Intercontinental Champion in history. He's got to catch Pedro Morales and Don Morocco, and he's closing in on Don Morocco. So he may be one step behind Pedro Morales for the all-time record, most days as Intercontinental Champion. Going to wrap up the episode with what is essentially breaking news today, that two superstars have been sent home from the WWE United Kingdom tournament. They were sent home early for disciplinary reasons. So, as you're watching SmackDown this week, you have a backstage segment where they have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens talking trash with Shane McMahon. They get put into a match. Sami Zayn's going to take on Kofi Kingston. They're wrestling in the ring. And at the end of the match, Kofi picks up the win over Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens charges the ring, gets into the ring, and starts attacking Kofi Kingston. Eventually, the New Day come into the ring. So here's the deal. Apparently, the WWE booking of the angle was that the heels, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, would continue to keep trying to come back into the ring and keep getting knocked down. They were going to essentially be fed to the New Day, build the New Day up to look strong, so when they go against the Shield at the Survivor Series, they're more believable to have been able to beat them because they're punching the snot out of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Well, apparently, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn went into business for themselves. Kevin Owens charges the ring like he was supposed to, but they take one shot and then they roll out of the ring and walk up the entranceway. And the problem is the production people didn't understand what was going on because they knew what was supposed to happen. They didn't cue anybody's music. They should have been cueing the New Day's music. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were supposed to take a few more bumps before they got out of the ring. Totally threw the whole segment off and made the show look like it had major errors going on. This, of course, is going to anger Vince McMahon and the entire creative team. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were sent home early. Vince McMahon authorized sending them home early. That's two of your biggest attractions. Only, 2 weeks removed from Kevin Owens going home for a family emergency and Triple H bailing him out and giving him the paycheck from it? I think it's kind of disingenuous for KO to go into business for himself. He's a phenomenal talent. And I love watching him work, but you got to be a professional. Same thing with Sami Zayn. You haven't earned anything yet. I know you're a hard worker. I know you're a great talent and all those things, but you still got to do business. You know, that's how the wrestling world works. So a lot of heat on them for going into business for themselves, for not following the script, not doing what they were supposed to do. And then word comes out that Owens and Zayn have been incredibly tough to deal with, creatively speaking and in the back, ever since the firing of Jimmy Jacobs and Neville walking out of the company, as they are both very close to both Jimmy Jacobs and Neville. Now, look. This is, I feel like a broken record here, but this is like the Impact Wrestling thing. Every person who doesn't want to do their job for WWE can't just up and walk out and you be accepting of it. If I'm Vince McMahon, I'd be like, listen, go home. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, go home. We aren't going to see you until WrestleMania. And at WrestleMania, I'm going to have you job out to somebody. Because that's what you get for disrespecting the business. If that really is the case, that they're throwing a temper tantrum backstage, becoming hard to handle because of Jimmy Jacobs. At the end of the day, Jimmy Jacobs did something incredibly stupid, okay? I'm not saying he's not a great talent. I'm not saying he's not a great creative mind. He is. I get it. I understand all those things. But what he is not is the owner and CEO of the company. He's a creative guy. So to act like he can just do whatever it is that he wants to do is lunacy to begin with. So I have I don't feel any remorse for Jimmy Jacobs getting fired, no matter whether he's their friend or not. That's irrelevant. I couldn't care less. So it's going to be curious to see how WWE presents this going forward. Zayn and Owens, you know, they're supposed to be the apex talents right now on SmackDown. They are two of the most important people in the brand. If they leave, it leaves a giant void at the top of the card for the heel side of things. I mean, of course, you could, I guess, suppose elevate Rusev a little bit. You could maybe flip Randy Orton back to being a heel, because I know he wants to do that, but I don't think the fans want that. There's a few other people you might be able to make heel, but at the end of the day, just be professional. Show up, do what you're asked to do. That's it. You're multimillionaires because of WWE, not because of your skill. Your skill is why you guys were on the independents for all those years. You got all these fans and they all love you. And yes, you can make more money on the independents than ever before right now. But, and I love when I hear this nonsense, you know, yes, the Young Bucks are an exception to the rule. They sell tons of merchandise through Hot Topic, and that's where they get all the money they're getting. However, when you're somebody like, say, Dalton Castle, or somebody of that nature, Michael Elgin, or Brian Cage, or somebody like that, yes, you can make a very good living on the independents. However, what you can't do on the independents, unless you're the Young Bucks, is move the quantity of merchandise that WWE moves every single day for its talents. If you're remotely marketable, if you're remotely important, they move. So there are more KO shirts out there than have ever been before. And that's not because people just liked him when he was in Ring of Honor. It's because they like him in WWE. So turning your back on that company over the dispute with Jimmy Jacobs would be ridiculous and ludicrous. WWE better not let that happen. Handle this business in-house and be past it, be done with it. Because at this point, it's really hurting the brand if you let those two talents go. Don't forget, ahead of every episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast, check out our homepage at www.frowrestling.com, where you can always see the topics we're going to discuss. You can pop onto the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160. Give us questions ahead of a show. We'll make sure we get those in there for you. Please do